resonate. Yes, ma'am. Yes. I couldn't exactly.
I was very happy. Even a little bit at home when you're talking about the internet and spreading the data and keeping that going. But what do you do? I mean, okay, I am working with Microsoft, but I am, you know, in corporate jobs.
I think the information and communication is really important. I don't see any alternative if things are going to work out better than they are now. I don't see any alternative to not having the proper information. It seems to me that's essential. And I think that if enough people had the right information, I think that if that would not be sufficient, it certainly would go a long way towards impelling them towards acting in the proper fashion. I mean, Newt Gingrich couldn't get away with it, the BS that he gets away with, if people understood what was going on, but they don't. I can't comment directly about whether that is the beginning of consciousness or not. I certainly, you know, it's sort of a strange thing, man, for me to attempt to rally another person's spirits, because let me tell you, this stuff really gets on my nerves sometimes. I mean, it just, plus, you know, you don't get a medal for doing what I do. You know, the government, I'm not going to get awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. I've paid some very heavy dues over the years. Some really bad experiences, and it can be really terrifying. And what gets most terrifying sometimes is when the heat's on and your friends abandon you. And that's why I've had that happen under real severe pressure. That's when you realize that the Gestapo will work. And this is what happened in Germany, you know. And the people who were resistance got dragged away at 4 o'clock in the morning. And somebody, hey, did you see, you know, Joe the Baker, you know, Horst the Baker got taken away at 4 o'clock in the morning. He said, hush, you know, I don't care about this thing. I have to go to work this morning. You know, who won the game between Stuttgart and Hamburg? And you better watch what you say or you'll get taken away. You know, it's very scary when that happens. And I've had that happen. But it's natural, I think, in viewing this power to feel overwhelmed to a certain extent. At the same time, I think it's important to understand that this has always been the case. In other words, the events that I've been describing took place well before most of us were alive. You know, it was when John Foster Dulles was doing the boogie with Hjalmar Schacht in 1919, and when, you know, Eugenio Pacelli, later and better known as Pius XII, was funding Hitler in 1919. This went on in 1919. And I think it's a useful first step for us to first find out what happened. And also, when you realize what a relatively, as powerful as these institutions are, it's a relatively small number of people in institutions doing this networking through this historical period and through these events that I've been speaking about. So I think to a certain extent, that in and of itself can prove comforting. Not that that's exactly exhilarating, but it's not all that many people. When you consider that right now 85% of all of the wealth on Earth is controlled by 100 transnational corporations, that in one sense is really scary and intimidating and overwhelming. On the other hand, it means that there's a relatively small number of institutions to affect. And speaking from my own experience, I can tell you that it is possible for individuals to have an effect on powerful institutions. The reason why I gave that perhaps corny-seeming metaphysical discussion, and in response to the gentleman's question a little while ago, is that it is not possible for an individual to significantly affect institutions and play it safe. And this is, I think, one of the aspects of our culture that is most insidious, is the culture of comfort and perceived well-being and recreation. So it really is pretty alien to us as Americans to place ourselves at risk for the common good. And yet, if one does, one can have an effect. And I don't want what I'm about to say to be misunderstood as being in any way conceited or vainglorious or anything else, but just two examples of things that I've had an effect on. In late December of 1984, there was a Radio Moscow broadcast, which was, you know, slamming the United States as, you know, the capitalist, imperialist, this, that, and the other. The usual Radio Moscow fare, which was pretty tedious stuff, if you've ever heard it. Not a very skillful institution and very predictable and not real good PR. But they talked about, said one of the only Americans working for peace is David Emery, who has done much to control psychological and biological weapons. This was in the time period when I was doing my first work on AIDS. Now, the way the Soviet media used to work is they would cite Western sources where possible. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Dr. Strangelove, but when Ambassador Kissoff, who's the Soviet ambassador to the United States, when he finds that he discloses the information about the Doomsday Machine, and Peter Sellers, who's playing the president of the United States, says, "What, Ambassador Kissoff, where did you find out about this?" He says, "From the Western press." You know, that's how they would frequently shape an argument. They would use Western sources. What that was, basically, the only thing I've ever done on biological weapons, the only thing I'd ever done up to that point, was my work on AIDS. And then a few months later, the Soviets began their propaganda blitzkrieg about AIDS as a biological warfare weapon. It is, in fact, a biological warfare weapon. I do not hold a brief for the Soviets. But the point is that what they were doing, this, you talk about feeling depressed, intimidated. What this was, when I realized it, and somebody had taped this and sent it to me, this was the KGB using my work as a back-off to the CIA or to our intelligence services. And let me tell you, I felt very scared and very alone and very depressed. I said, well, I'm going to get killed. You know. And in fact, there was a serious attempt on my life. Well, it was about a year and a half later, and that's when I stopped driving. So I have a backpack here. I don't drive anymore. It's very dangerous if you're going to do this line of work. But and the point is, I survived. You think you were depressed listening to this lecture? Let me tell you, I was one unhappy puppy at that, very unhappy camper indeed after that, because I figured, well, I'm dead. I'm going to get off. But I survived, you know, and I'm still here. I don't know if you have been listening long enough to hear some of the talks that I did with Professor Wilhelm Stauffer of Stauffer Consultants, an international consultant. Those things were historic. Those were really, really brilliant discussions by Professor Stauffer. I'm not taking credit for it myself. But those aired late night on the Pacifica station in Los Angeles. They aired after midnight on Wednesday night / Thursday mornings. Huge stations, 112,000 watts FM, second most powerful FM signal west of the Mississippi. But it airs after midnight on a weekday, so you got to figure most people are asleep. The German consulate twice protested to KPFK over those broadcasts. According to Professor Stauffer, and he had access to the German media, there was a speech made on the floor of the Bundestag denouncing my broadcast as a Stasi radio station. Suppose I was part of the East German, you know, commune. Naturally, they tarred me with a commie brush. But I was based on that Professor Stauffer's broadcasts were tarred as a Stasi radio station broadcasting in the United States. And it was said in one article that the consular office was going to close it down, meaning Helmut Kohl was going to close down this Stasi radio station in the United States, meaning me. When I went down to a lecture, and again, this, in no way should this be interpreted as vainglory or bombast or conceit. I'm going to come to the final point in a second. When I went down in Los Angeles for a lecture in March of 94, right about the time that I concluded my broadcast with Professor Stauffer, who was a pseudonym, that is an alias for an international consultant who had a firm that consults corporations in small European countries. And he had some very good connections with some of the smaller, the intelligence services of some of the smaller European countries. And Professor Stauffer had the information officers from some of the consulates in Los Angeles, whose countries he advised, come to my lecture to keep an eye on what was going on, because the head of the Los Angeles contingent of the BND, the German Intelligence Service, and the successor organization of the Galen Organization, a guy named Holger Hartmann, by the way, at the time, according to Professor Stauffer, the head of the Goethe Institute LA, had written me a letter basically challenging me to call him up and taking issue with my program. So I contacted Professor Stauffer and said, listen, I got this real interesting looking letter from a German guy in Los Angeles. And he said, oh, tell me who it is. And I said, Holger. He said, Hartmann. And I said, yeah, how'd you know? He just said, oh, my God. He said, you don't realize who you're dealing with. He said, he's head of BND in Los Angeles. So that's the Prince of Darkness you're dealing with. Anyway, so when I went down for my lecture, he had the information officers from some of his, some of the countries he advises, their consulates, show up. And there were like 40 people at this lecture, I think 42 paid. Aside from the people that Professor Stauffer had there, that was included in the 42, there were 8 BND agents, including Holger Hartmann himself, at the lecture to check out what I was doing. All of which is to say, and again, this is not, first of all, I don't want you to feel intimidated, and it's just what people want to do is sign up on that piece of paper to help support me, right? That's exactly what you're going to want to do now. But the point is that as an individual, you know, with me in both halves of my ass, basically, I was able to make the three most powerful nations on the face of the earth at least respond to my individual efforts with the Radio Moscow program you know, the Soviets were using me to back off our intelligence services. And later, although Soviet propaganda was deemed to be very ineffective, in the Third World, their propaganda about AIDS, which was true, was very effective. And when the Intermediate Range Missile Treaty was concluded, withdrawing all intermediate range missiles from Europe in 1988, at the same time, Gorbachev agreed to stop charging the U.S. with having created AIDS. In all probability, that was part of the agreement. So in all probability, to a certain extent, I played a role as an individual in that negotiation, in that dynamic. And then the Germans were so upset with what I was doing in Los Angeles that they protested to KPFK and dispatched half the bloody damn BND contingent of Los Angeles to my lecture. This, again, is not in any way to brag or to blow my own horn or to be vainglorious, nor should people be scared by that. But rather, the point is that it is possible using information and using your own character, your own bravery, your own resources, to make these very powerful institutions respond to you as an individual. Not that you necessarily, as an individual, want to, you know, have Radio Moscow or BND responding to you as an individual. There are other things that I would aspire to. But the point is that it can be done. And these are the most powerful countries that have ever existed on this planet. And yet, using information, I have been able to affect their affairs as an individual. And this, and again, in no way is to be conceited or bombastic or vainglorious, but rather in response to your feeling depressed and overwhelmed, I can understand that. It's important to understand that it is possible for individuals, particular individuals acting in concert, and not necessarily large numbers of individuals, to have an effect on what's going on. And the only, you know, as it happens, I was the one who was sallying into this particular valley of death. But people can do that, and with things like the internet, with talk shows. For example, the three of you there are a party, in other words, you're together. You're part of that. The three of you, just networking, calling a talk show, could do a lot. Because if one of you were to call a talk show, you could get cut off and say, oh, that's ridiculous, we're not going to hear that. Bloop. But then, if you do a phone treeing thing, then two others call, it sounds really lousy for a talk show host. It could be the most venal dinosaur that KGO or KKK SFO has in their entire menagerie, and I think that's an appropriate Marine World Africa USA's dinosaurs, a prehistoric adventure. It's just about right too. But you could get some licks in. But if you organize with a somewhat larger but still very small group of friends, five or six people. One of the things that's important in this line of work, I think, is to have the support of like-minded people. Human contact is really important. Sitting alone in a room, reading about this stuff, I mean, I find reading very stimulating, but it can get really depressing. But human contact, having friends and a support network that can shore you up and who feel as you do, is not only very, very reinforcing and very motivating psychologically, it can also be tremendously practical. Rather than people thinking in terms of forming some great phalanx which is going to march to the horizon and right all the wrongs, that's not practical. But rather, a relatively small group of committed people who are willing to act in concert can have a significant effect in the information field. Not to say you're going to tilt the earth on its axis, but as a group, if the three of you and maybe a couple of like-minded friends were to organize yourselves, like you take a look at what the far right does. They use leaderless resistance, these small cells without a leader, but acting independently and in the same direction. It's a very difficult thing to interdict. I don't personally like large organizations. All organizations get infiltrated, and the larger it is, the more infiltrated it's going to be, and the sooner it will be co-opted. But a small group of people, particularly if you're already friends, if you've obviously, if the three of you are here together, at least to a certain extent, you have to feel the same way about some of these things, you'd be amazed how what the three of you could do calling a talk show. If not one of the more reactionary stations like KGO or KKK SFO, you could contact, you know, KPFA or Michael Krasny on KQED. Jerry Brown on KPFA. He's not exactly a day at the beach. I like Jerry, but I was on his show before he was on Pacifica. Let me tell you, he was being touted as a presidential candidate. Nice guy. I like him. I respect him. But I've never met anybody who knew less about national security matters. I mean, he never would have been elected. And if he was elected, he would have set a New World's indoor record for death. They would have killed him so fast. He never would have known what hit him. But you could call up Jerry Brown, for example. Now, Jerry Brown is carried by the Pacifica Network on their L.A. stations, and New York, and Washington, D.C., I think, and Houston. That's a lot of area. Wow. And you can get on, and Jerry Brown won't censor you. He may not have a guest that would permit any sort of relevant question along the lines of inquiry that I conduct. But it can be done. And the internet, one can do something very similar. And again, this is not to say that you necessarily want to have, you know, the Holger Hartmann and the LA BND contingent showing up for a tea party or something like that. But you can have an effect as an individual. And as a group of individuals, you can have that much more. I have found that the chemistry with groups of people, even small groups of people, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. I think synergy really comes into effect there. And the effect is very bolstering. And emotionally, psychologically, it's a very sustaining thing. And you can have an effect. But the thing is, and the thing that is toughest for us to overcome, I think, aside from our inertia, is the culture of recreation, the culture of safety, and the culture of enjoyment. Because we're taught not only not to place ourselves at risk, we're taught to be superannuated children. We're taught to play, but not with, you know, blocks or jacks or with jumping ropes like people do, or like with toy soldiers. We're taught to play with Mercedes-Benz, with our houses, with our computers, with our television sets, with our VCRs. These are our toys, you know, and I think it's important to understand that that culture can be rejected and should be rejected. And once it is rejected, it's not to say that it's not okay to have some nice things, including nice possessions. Sure, that's fine. But if one is willing to place oneself at risk, you can have an effect. And the thing that I think is important to bear in mind in that regard is we're all of us a temporary state of affairs anyway. In other words, none of us is getting out of this world alive anyway. And yet at the same time, there is almost certainly more than just these four dimensions. I think that's a very important thing to remember, is that what we are being motivated by in this society is a pseudo-scientific awareness. And the notion is, well, just, you know, you're born and, you know, then you live and then you die and you rot and that's it. And there's something more to it than that, almost certainly, according to what science has been able to determine. And I think that's an important thing to remember. As an individual, you can have an effect. You will not have much of an effect unless you place yourself at risk, but the very fact of physical existence means we're at risk. And certainly at some point we're all going to be undone. You know, again, none of us is getting off the world alive. But I think that working with a small group of friends can be a very sustaining thing, and you'd be amazed how effective you can be. And also, if you can remain as an intact group, when the inevitable adversity does come your way, not necessarily political adversity or as a result of these things, any kind of adversity, having friends, having a support network really helps. It really helps endure the slings and arrows. Very important thing. Yeah. Oh, well, what have they replaced it with? Not familiar with it. Yeah, all righty. So anybody else? Because I'm going to have to keep an eye on, not an eye on, but I got to maintain my vocal cords because I have 4 hours to do tomorrow, and I get a little bit raw after about 4 hours of yakety yak in here. One more question. Actually, we got two more. Anybody else? Let's get a quick last round of questions. Then I'm going to, also I notice our KFJC staff contingent is draped all around the furniture in the back there, so their stamina is beginning to flag a little bit, so. Spitfire, the email is alcalame@ix.netcom.com. alcalame@ix.netcom.com. What's that? Oh, the KFJC has a website, which has a list of and description of all. Now I feel like it's one step beyond. A list of and description of all of the shows available from Spitfire. www.kfjc.org, and now I have to get my expletive deleted in gear and start getting descriptions of the lectures, like including this one. So that's next. Yes, gentleman in the back. I think you'll find that the section, my section of the KFJC website is just see how long it takes you to boot it up. And I think you'll find it more than absorbing. There's a lot of stuff there. That's the only website I'm on. I mean, there are also other stations that I'm on that have links to the website. But I think you'll find that'll keep you busy for a while. Also, I've just updated it. There are like a whole bunch of new descriptions and stuff on it. Not in radio. Not in radio, except for little small things. I mean, there are X number of researchers doing this. Sadly, I don't know of anybody else in radio doing this. I've only known of two people who've ever done this on radio. And that is, well, I guess, you know, if you count my former co-host, that would make four, but it was the late Mae Brussel. Nobody else I know has ever done this. Not on radio. I mean, there are people that will get on the radio and talk about some of this stuff, but in terms of, I mean, this is professional anti-fascist radio, Margaret, and I don't, you know, most people, they don't need a fascist. Like I said, as I've said before, I don't know how many times I've used this line, either on One Step Beyond or at a lecture. I mean, you talk to the average American about anti-fascism, and they'll say, well, I didn't know her personally, but I hear she was quite a gal, you know?
Yeah.
And that's it. No, there really isn't anybody doing this that I know of. I mean, there are other people doing research. I know of nobody else on the radio doing this. Yeah. Or in the newspaper articles and everything else. Yeah, I don't know of anybody doing anything even remotely close to this. To tell you the truth. Well, you know, but there's another thing too. I mean, everybody has their strong points and their weak points. I mean, doing this, you know, I'm a swan. Doing most other things, I'm an ugly duckling. You know, I mean, seriously. I mean, I'm not being falsely modest. You know, I'm really good at this, and this is what I do. There are plenty of things I'm lousy at, you know. I mean, I don't think I'd make much of an insurance salesman, you know. I mean, if you want to see really sad, you should see me try to play basketball sometime. That's really sad, you know. But there are all kinds of things. I mean, I find fighting fascism, going head-to-head, doing this kind of stuff, up to a point, it can be intimidating. I've had some absolutely terrifying moments. I mean, to be quite candid with you, I think if they decide to get rid of me, it's going to be this year. I think 1998 is the year I'm not looking forward to. If they decide to bump me out, they love anniversaries. It'll be 10 years since they hit Mae Brussel. She was whacked. If they decide to get me, I think it's going to be this year. And I'm seeing the same maneuvering around me that I saw around Mae prior to her demise. I mean, they're moving people in, and they're trying to get ready to replace me if they can. And so, you know, I feel frankly kind of scared. I don't think it's a mysterious disappearance you should worry about, but it's something that would look altogether natural or, you know, disappearing is not what I'm concerned with, but, you know, a fast-acting case of cancer, apparent suicide, getting hit by a car, or suddenly going completely nuts. If they can get to me and, you know, do something with mind control, you're just going completely psychotic. Or if you read about me in the papers doing, I lead a really ordinary existence. I mean, I get up. You know, I read my newspapers and my books, and I do my broadcasting. I live a very unremarkable, unexciting existence, except for the occasional trauma. I was going to decide to get nasty. But if you read about me or hear about me doing anything other than this, you know, if I suddenly jump off the Golden Gate Bridge or, you know, go running out in the middle of traffic or suddenly climb on top of a telephone pole and do something, you know they got to me somehow. But, I'm very concerned about this year because I'm seeing, you know, they love anniversaries, and it's been 10 years since Mae Brussel got whacked, and I'm seeing the same maneuvering now around me that led up to, that I saw around Mae from some of the same elements. In fact, you know, let's just say, I won't even get too specific, but let's just say there's a certain former associate, Margaret, that you know of, who now is in bed with some of the elements that are doing this. You know, I'm not saying he's necessarily sinister. I don't know if he even knows. But if they can get rid of me, what they're going to do is they're going to move John Judge and Prevailing Winds Research and a whole bunch of other people in, and they're going to blast out all over KPFA and a whole bunch of other people. Oh, well, other institutions that neither Mae Brussel nor I could ever get involved with. That's if they can do it. I'm also pretty effectively marginalized. You know, I mean, the thing that I was talking with that lady about, you know, Radio Moscow and then the Holger Hartmann thing, you know. I mean, in this country, you know, I'm on the fringe of the fringe. You know, I can't even, you know, you're not even going to read about me in The Nation or hear about me on KPFA, or let alone NPR, let alone, then you get the real thing, NBC, ABC, CBS. So, you know, at the same time, they may just be trying to keep me within my limits and trying to keep me intimidated and scared. And in many ways, maybe the worst vengeance they could achieve, that the powers that be could exact on me, would be to just let me grow old, because I've made no... It's one of the reasons why I was passing the hat and why I'm passing the signatures around, because I've lived unselfishly. Most people in this society have lived in order for self-aggrandizement and to plan for their future so they could, you know, move to Boca Raton, you know, and have a nice little retirement home with a tennis court and whatever. I have not been thinking about the future. I didn't think I was going to live this long, and I've come awfully close on a couple of occasions to not living this long. But on the other hand, you know, the thought occurs to me, you know, I've gone this far, and the powers that be don't seem to have denied them too much of their agenda so far. You know, they might just let me grow old, you know, without no Social Security, no retirement, so... you know, 20 years down the line, you know, if some bum in the street asks you for spare change and you think you recognize the resonant tones in that bum, you know, you might just toss him a few coins for a bottle of Ripple because it might be me, you know. You never know. But on the other hand, I'm really concerned with some of the maneuvering I'm seeing around me now, because I saw they whacked May, but they did first as they worked up a whole bunch of people around her to move right in, and now everything that she had, her library, her articles, her tapes, everything now is run by the opposition. And I'm seeing that same kind of maneuvering around me right now. You know, and I'm seeing those same elements jockeying around, doing this and that. I mean, it may just be to keep me agitated, you know, because Well, they could. They could. I mean, in 86, they came very close to doing that. I was in a serious auto. That's when I stopped driving, Margaret. You know, and I came, just dumb luck I survived that. Now, at this stage of the game, you know, discrediting is more important, you know. And, probably. Not only that, but to a certain extent, you know, I mean, I wouldn't presume to speak for them. I mean, that would be really presumptuous. But I don't think, I mean, having just said to the one lady, I mean, this is not to be hypocritical, you can have an effect as an individual, and I certainly want to encourage everybody to do it, but I personally don't think enough people, I'm not an optimist. You know, I don't think enough people are very likely to do that, you know, sadly. I wish they would. Yes, Mark? Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, Thursday night between 6 and 7, so those half-hour segments that I've done, an hour of those are running Thursday nights between 6 and 7 on KFJC. Yeah, well, I'm going to mention that. You know, it's always easier said than done to remember everything to mention. But I'll tell you this: if those gorgeous tones are going to be intact tomorrow, my voice is getting kind of raw after 4.5 hours or so. So if there's anybody else with anything burning to say, say it now, because we should filter on out. We can do a little schmoozing outside, but I'm going to listen to you talk rather than doing anything more. Listen, thank you once again for coming. I very much appreciate your attendance, and I know KFJC does too. It was a very successful event. Thanks so much for coming.